Tonight on TMS PM, Ebola might be going away again.
Christian Bale did not have to do much to get the Jobs job.
get it?
Job.
Kyle Chandler has a new show on Netflix.
Clear eyes can't lose full hearts. Hitler coffee creamer is not popular.
Adorkable is finally in the dictionary.
Chit chat with Dan.
Your Twitter questions and more on this episode of the Morning Stream PM Edition. Nighttime thing.
This is the Morning Stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night. PM.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Morning Stream PM edition. My name is Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett.
Oh, hello.
He's in the great outdoors. I wish you guys could see this video. I guess if you're watching YouTube or the archive or live, you're seeing it. But that looks lovely. Like, it's freezing here. What are you doing in this light, nice weather?
Oh, it's nice. I'm out here in short sleeve shirts and or in a short sleeve shirt. I might actually turn the camera because I'm now. Well, once the sun goes down a little bit more, I think it'll be really a really nice view with the all the leaves changing out here. It's gorgeous.
Such a bastard. It's freezing here. It's like 32 degrees outside or something.
Oh,
I don't know what's going on. I hope this is headed your way because I'm a vindictive bastard. Hashtag Gamergate. So, hey, it's our chance to do the PM edition of the show, brought to you by patreon.com/TMS. It's a long story. Brian had a bunch of internet issues and woes today, and so he is siphoning off of borrowed internet, neighbor internet, from his porch because that's the best connection for the Wi-Fi. So there you go.
Neighbornet.
Neighbornet. Right. Yeah, neighbornet. I forgot. That's what we're calling it officially. Mm-hmm. Brian, before we go any further...
yes.
We've got to... I mean, I had kind of a crappy day. You had kind of a crappy day on the whole, but I'm dying to hear about your eye visit that may or may not make me squirm in my seat. So you went in to get the thing checked. What happened? How did it go?
So this was a first meeting with the doctor who may be doing surgery on my eye the Monday before BlizzCon.
Oh, good Lord.
Or just on my eyelid, not my eye. But so what this will involve is turning my eyelid inside out.
Yep. All right,
and then making a vertical incision to remove the sty mass. So basically, apparently this is fairly common with people with people whose heritage comes from like Northern Europe. So really light fair skin, rosacea. If you have rosacea, then this might be fairly common. I don't have rosacea.
What's rosacea? What the hell is that?
That's where your skin is like rosy colored on your cheeks.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't really get that so much, but my sister Wendy, when she was little, got that like crazy. And
So you know, like the little crusty stuff that your eye produces that you wake up in the morning and rub the crusty stuff out of your eyes.
Yeah, eye boogers, we call them around here.
Boogers, exactly.
Yeah.
So your eye—that's just a natural thing that your eye produces and eliminates.
Right.
Well, as your eye is producing this stuff. It's like in your tear ducts, these things can clog up your tear duct, especially if you have smaller tear ducts, and it can cause it to collect in there and then swell up and then turn into like a mass like you're seeing on my eye right here.
Yeah. Is it hurt right now? Like,
no.
Okay.
No. Oh, no. I can touch it and tap it.
You know, it's funny because as a guy who had, I don't know why this is freaking me out more than the actual eye cutting I had on both my eyes.
I know. This seems like it'd be, you know, far less.
And it probably is. It's probably an easier procedure. It's probably super rudimentary. It's not like you have any real fear for, you know, a robot lens to fall out or any of those things. Yet for some reason, this sounds worse to me. Because I didn't do it, but it just seems scary.
Exactly, because it's happening to somebody else.
Yeah, I guess so. It seems terrible. And then the one day, so are you going to show up at BlizzCon with like a big patch on your eye, or how do you do that?
Who knows? Basically, that's when the surgery is scheduled. It's minor surgery. There's some things I can do or that I'm going to be doing between now and then, especially with a hot compress, which can really, really soften the mass that's in there and make it come out a little bit easier, mm-hmm. for lack of a better way to describe it.
Yeah, he's softening up the stool that's in his eye, everybody. That's what we're telling you.
Yes. Oh, delicious. Who here is eating dinner right now?
Are they? Yeah, it's the PM edition. Lots of people. Are you having to take any sort of medication leading up to it, or is just...
amoxicillin, but that's, that's nothing.
Yeah, that's no big deal. That's a very light... That's basically bread mold is what that is.
It basically is, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's the kind I have to take, because they got that new... They got fandangled new robot, the nanobot freaking antibiotics now. It turns out I can't take those. I get a huge rash and blow up and die if I take those.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it's usually the opposite. People are usually allergic to the...
to the natural.
Sure.
And so we have to do the synthetic.
Like Kim. Yeah. Kim can't do the natural stuff. It puts her in hives and chokes her, and she can't do it. I can do it. It's weird. Mm-hmm. Weird opposites. And opposites attract, as you know.
Yes. All right. If Paula Abdul has taught us nothing.
She has.
MC Scat Cat.
Yes. Yeah, truly she has taught us nothing. But she did teach me this. I forgot her song now, the famous one.
Straight Up?
Yeah, Straight Up. Is Do Do You Love Me the same song as Straight Up? Now tell me.
Same song as Straight Up.
Okay,
yeah.
Just different lyrics, same song.
Just great. That's her improvisational section of that song.
All right. Do you love me? Do you love me?
Exactly.
Good news though, because your eye, while a considered a quote unquote disease, it is a thing you can take care of. Mm-hmm. My cataracts would be considered quote unquote a disease, but those were taken care of. Well, Ebola, that's a disease. And it turns out maybe we're taking care of it. Good news, everybody. I thought I'd put this out on the top of the show, because why the hell not? One other question about your eye doctor. Was he Asian, and did he rest his knee on your penis the entire time?
He did not, but he did come close. Like, that whole thing where they have to zoom in on that little machine where you put your chin in the cup, and then he looks at it really close.
Yeah.
His knee was pretty damn close.
Yeah, they get real close, right? You can smell lunch on their breath. But the Chinese guy I had his knee right up all up in my crotch the whole time, and had a great accent. So that was my favorite eye doctor I ever had. Anyway, Liberia, where the real hot zone for this thing is.
Yeah,
this is where Ebola is just like replicating, and everyone's getting it there, and it's the flights out of there that came to other parts of the world and gave them their first cases of contracted Ebola and all that. They are dropping. The cases are dropping. I don't mean the people are. The cases of it cropping up and spreading are dropping. A stunning new fact, Ebola cases in Liberia are actually dropping. New case numbers are going down. Admissions to the ETU's Ebola treatment units are going down. The amount of bodies being picked up is going down. This all according...
That seems like a horrible thing.
It does, doesn't it?
The amount of bodies being picked up is going down.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good statistic, but it's a grim one.
Yeah.
Dr. James Debor Jalal, the deputy incident manager for the National Ebola Command Center in Monrovia, the capital of Liberia, is saying this. ETU teams, body removal teams, health officials, they're all confirming what he's saying. And they're just noticing less of this, and it's getting, all the numbers are pointing down. And there's news today that there was some Ebola vaccine that's been in the works for decades that no one's ever released because they didn't think it was financially liable or viable enough. That pissed me off, because that's basically them going, oh, we may have a cure for this. Yeah, but is anyone going to buy it? Yeah, it's just poor African countries anyway. Let's just heap our hat on that one.
That's lame.
Jackasses. Anyway, 50% of the beds in wards that were teeming with patients are now empty in some of the most Ebola-stricken parts of Liberia. So that's really good news. And for the first time ever, I mean, don't tell CNN or any of those jackanapes, but it looks like the numbers are going down a little bit.
They'll have nothing to talk about if this goes away, right?
Right. Blitzer loses he doesn't lose a job, but doesn't he lose a beard hair every time he's wrong? Something like that?
Something like that,
I think that's the rule. Anyway, just once in a while, it's nice to dip your foot in the pool that is better news than usual, and that's good news, okay? All right, everybody. And maybe that means no cases of Ebola in Anaheim, California, the week of the 7th of November. Maybe that's what that means. Let's all hope that both Brian and his giant cool eye patch... By the way, he's cosplaying as a, what were the pirates called in Vanilla WoW?
The ones over by Booty Bay.
Something scale. Fish scale pirates, something scale. Yeah, by Booty Bay.
Yes. Yeah, I can't remember their names.
Rat
I remember
scale.
That Tristan killed enough of them that he now can't go near Booty Bay.
Oh, because they all hate his guts and he's exactly. He's hated with them.
He's hated.
Somebody somewhere is going to tell me. Where are they here in the chat room? I guess that we're still waiting, but someone's going to tell. Bloodscale Buccaneers. That's it.
Bloodscale Buccaneers.
That's right. It. Anyway, congratulations. Let's move on to what we like to call a thing I have to move over to get. There it is. The evening news. Here it is. Whoops. Hold on. Whoops.
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
It's the evening news, and it's brought to you by
Director of Education Programs and Services at Hootsuite. For our keynote session, and Ruth Carter, a real-life lawyer, is closing out our formal speaking sessions. Session tracks include audio, visual, writing, blogging, marketing, business, social, and coding and geekery. Come to learn, participate in the discussion, and rub elbows with all the geeks and nerds in Phoenix. Tickets are available for only $12 at techphx.com/register. That's techphx.com/register. Use the code TMS during checkout to get 50% off the ticket price.
Nice. I hear a child just now. Someone screaming out there. What was that?
That was a dog. Oh, it was a dog? Yeah. Wow.
I kind of like this. I feel jealous of your station there. I think that looks nice. Like, I'll chill out there.
Wait till I turn here. I'm going to turn the whole situation here.
All right. So oh, and you got to, I see you're wearing blood, or what's his name?
Deadpool.
Deadpool. Yep. Bloodpool.
Bloodpool.
Bloodscale Buccaneers.
That's right. Look exactly.
At that. That's gorgeous.
That is the,
that's nice, here. Dude. Can you sit there still? And because I like,
oh, yeah.
I like how you can just have that there.
Isn't that pretty?
That's beautiful.
That's a little sunset for you.
Yeah, right there. Very nice.
I just didn't want to block it by being in the way of all that stuff.
That's all right. Looking good, man. Check this out. Christian Bale didn't need no stinking audition to play Steve Jobs. here's today's no-brainer. Christian Bale confirmed to play the tech maverick Steve Jobs in the film adaptation of Walter Isaacson's 2011 Jobs biography. I can't believe that book is that old. I swear I just read that. Like
yeah,
5 minutes
kidding.
Ago. Anyway, this is that Aaron Sorkin project. The West Wing, The Newsroom, Social Network.
Sports Center.
Sports Center. No, Sports Night, wasn't it?
I'm sorry, Sports Night.
Sports Center is what they were making fun of or whatever.
That's right.
30 Rock on the Sunset drink, whatever that is, whatever that was.
the Tequila Sunrise, yeah.
That's the guy. We love Aaron Sorkin, and he's doing this thing, and I'm super stoked because he's dead perfect for it. I mean, he really is.
Yeah.
There's no reason you don't have Christian Bale do this. So,
he's got that intense look that is absolutely going to be necessary for this. Uh-oh, the neighbors just found out I'm out here.
Oh, great. This will be fun. Sorkin says there was no audition. There was just a meeting. We knew we wanted him, and it was that easy. So... He walked in, he sat down, they said, hey, how do you feel about playing tech icon legend Steve Jobs? And he was reported to say, oh, good for you, he said. Just like you'd expect.
Just like that, yes. And that's how he's going to talk to the fake Woz. Do we know who's going to play Woz?
We don't know yet. Cast him. Who do you want? Who do you like?
Bruce Valanche would be my first choice.
You know, that's actually not terrible. It kind of works. It's not the worst pick ever. I don't know who they pick. I think the guy they had for that bad Kutcher movie was pretty good, actually. He was one of the high points. Forgot his name, but he's the voice of the snowman in Frozen. I don't remember his name. Yeah, we'll see. I'm excited for that. That's very interesting to me, mostly because of the Aaron Sorkin connection, because I just love everything he freaking does. It's kind of like this, dude. Last week, we talked about that... new Disney movie, Land of Tomorrow, or World of Tomorrow, or Tomorrowland, or whatever.
Tomorrowland, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was not all that excited. I was kind of like, oh, okay, sure, it's, you know, whatever. You're taking a Disney park and turning it into a movie. That kind of bugs me when that happens, but it might be all right. Then I saw that Brad Bird's name was attached to it, that he's directing it.
Right.
I'm a complete, I'm total turnaround now.
So we're looking at like Incredibles level goodness.
I hope
with that one.
I hope I have trust in that man. So, in fact, we went over
Thank you.
Oh, who you got there?
That is Carrie, next door neighbor Carrie, who brought me a lovely. Is there anything in this, or is it just water?
I can bring you a lovely beverage.
Oh, yeah. Let's. What do you want? Whatever. Surprise me. Thanks.
Whatever hooch you got in the house.
Exactly.
So wait, are you on their porch?
I'm on their porch.
Oh, I figured you. I thought you were your house. That's hilarious.
No, I'm next door. Oh, and the cat got out.
And hold on, did they even know? So they didn't even know you were going to park your butt there and do this.
No, they had no idea.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Because I was thinking that it was going to be much closer to get, their Wi-Fi, and their cats are escaping.
Yeah.
You got Carl over here too.
How many cats you got?
They have three.
Oh, geez, that's too many cats, in my opinion.
Sorry.
They can't hear me, right? Right. Okay.
No,
good. Good. Well, that's plenty of cats then. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Netflix, Sorkin. Good job. Keep going there.
For sure.
Not Netflix. Here's the Netflix story. Kyle Chandler, Full Hearts.
Oh, yeah. Netflix is new to Steve Jobs.
Though. No. That's not them. Clean Eyes, Full Hearts, Can't Run. What is it?
Clean Eyes is certainly not what I have right now.
No,
full,
you don't.
Full Eyes, yeah. Full Eyes, Face Down.
Run like hell. I can't see. Yeah.
That's the phrase.
Kyle Chandler and Linda Cardellini's Netflix series Bloodline as a teaser and a premiere date. I had not heard of this, but anyway, they're teasing this new show. It's called Bloodline. It's in first indications say the family drama will be the anti-parenthood. Ooh. Let's see. That Linda Cardellini's, she's from the Freaks and Geeks and Mad Men.
It's funny because we were just talking about her last week and I can't remember what made us discuss her.
Yeah, what was the context? It was something, you know, I'm going to look it up.
Hold on 1 second. What's that?
Sorry, the cat's escaping.
Yeah, Jack is now in. Jack? Carl went that way.
Oh, I know. We were saying, we were talking about her as something. What was it?
Yeah, but who,
Oh, crap.
Right. She's gotten a role in some movie that we're excited about or something,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. What was it? Linda Cardellini cast a series in Damages. Oh, this is a Damages creator joint. I loved Damages. Oh, I am all in on this. All right. Anyway, this sounds really good to me. For some reason, there's a picture of Will Wheaton here.
On the Netflix? On the
they're just talking about a sci-fi show. It's just on the same article. That's what it is.
Gotcha. Okay.
All right. Let's see. Series creator on four adult siblings. It's about four adult siblings and the family secrets that threaten to be exposed when one of them returns home to the Florida Keys. It stars Kyle Chandler from Friday Night Lights, Ben Mendelsohn from The Dark Knight Rises. Who did he play? I don't know. Ben Mendelsohn.
If I had a better connection, I would look him up while you're talking about
it. Here, we'll do a little work here. Anyway, okay. Linda Cardellini, we mentioned that. Norbert Leo Butts, Jacinda Barrett, Jamie McShane, and Enrique Muracino.
Murciano.
Thank you very much.
Norbert Leo Butts.
Yeah, I like that, right? That's a great name.
He never got picked on.
Norbert Leo Butts. You know, sometimes your name's so bad, it's better to just stick with it than to go get a new
one. Exactly. You know, he's the only one in the phone book.
Yep. He's like Rip Torn. Just keep
Norbert
it, man.
Butts.
We aren't bad people, Chandler says, and character says in a voiceover of the teaser, but we did a bad thing. Let's see if we can hear just a taste of it here. I don't know if you'll be able to hear this. You should be able to.
Oh, this is the teaser. Oh, cool.
Yeah, here we go. It's only 30 seconds. There's a burning.
We're not bad people.
Burning boat.
But we did a bad thing.
All right, putting people's names up. Sam Shepard and Sissy Spacek are also in this. And that's it.
I'll bet you they're the parents of these four.
Probably. Netflix 2015 March, so we got a little ways to wait. I don't know what that's about, but Damages is a good show, and I'm all in.
It's going to be an entire season-long mystery of what they did that's going to be revealed slowly with flashbacks and subtle innuendo and hints. And
Punctuated by moments of real shocking moments. Yeah, it's right. that sounds like damages to me. Very damages like. So and probably nudity, you're right. I mean, why not? Yeah, it's Netflix. It's
Netflix, they can do whatever they want.
They're the HBO of I mean, they really are. And in their original programming, they can do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. They just happen to have a bunch of kid stuff too. So be careful, parents, I guess. Whatever. What else? Supermarket says sorry for selling Hitler coffee creamer. I'm going to load this one on you while you're out there enjoying the sunset. A leading Swiss supermarket chain is apologizing for what it calls an unforgivable blunder. That's my voice version of them.
Right, that's a Swiss. That's because it's like Germany, but because there are a bunch of ladies who hold out chocolate milk, their voices are higher.
Yeah. They talk like these. Let's see. They distributed many containers of coffee creamer that bears the portrait of Adolf Hitler and Benito Mussolini. Migros, which is also rhymes with, anyway, which also sells electronics and household goods. These are like the Kirkland of Swiss households. Right. Says it immediately withdrawing boxes containing hundreds of the coffee creamer containers and breaking all ties with Carvo Versland, the small Swiss company that designed the collectible series of 55 different motifs, including the likeness of German and Italian fascist dictators. In a statement Wednesday, Migros described the incident as an internal failure and vowed to tighten our controls on these types of products drastically. That's not a mistake.
Yeah, no, that's oh, we printed up thousands and millions of these coffee creamers with their faces on them. Yeah. Whoops.
Let me restate. It is a mistake, but not one you just goofed. It's not like you went, oh, that's whoops. Right. Yes. My
spot. Your coffee is not light enough.
Yavor? Nein.
You need much whiter coffee.
All right, finally, we got a little news here in the news here. Adorkable and twerking are now part of the print edition of the Collins English Dictionary. Also, yeah. Photobomb and selfie and meme are in there as well.
They'll just add anything to the Collins English Dictionary.
I don't think I like this thing. It also includes vape, like for vaping, you know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Bitcoin and adorkable. Brings the total number of entries in the Collins English Dictionary to 722,000, reportedly making it the largest single volume dictionary in print. Well, if that's the goal, then what makes them different than like CNN trying to compete with MSNBC or Fox? It's the same exactly. thing. Like, hey, let's put some dumb words in here and then we'll be number one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. This isn't happening with Webster's, right? It's always the, I've never even heard of Collins English Dictionary, but there's another one that we just talked about on the show a little while ago that did the same kind of thing, right? It was
it wasn't Webster's, it was Oxford.
Oxford, right. And they Oxford added a English bunch Dictionary. Of words.
Nothing yeah, what, is, it's all British stuff. It's all British idiots doing this. Take that. Let's get some emails going. Let's get
How
some...
are we going to compete with Webster's? Let's add adorkable. Let's put a picture of Zoe Deschanel right under it.
Philip, get in here. We've got to put a terrible photo. We got to put a duck face in here. Can we put that in? Okay. All right, Brian, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have a guest here. We're going to have a little chit chat with Dan Patrice talking about board games this week.
Yay.
We're
going to
do, I think the schedule for him is every other week. We will pull him in and do a little bit of chit chat there with Dan Patrice. Chit, of course, being those stupid little characters you play with on board games. So we'll do that in a minute, but you've got some kind of music here for us. What do you got?
I do. So this one's going out to Rusty in Scotland. Says, Dear Soft Drink and Bourbon, I've been listening to TMS for close to a year now, though we have not quite converted my fiancée Jillian to your fantastic show. One section she does enjoy, however, are Brian's covers. Aww. Oh. 1 year today, 23rd of October, I will marry my best friend. She is more than I could ever hope for in a partner, and I'm thrilled to be spending the rest of my life with her. As such, I'd like to request a cover of or by The Proclaimers, which would be appreciated by my patriotic bride-to-be. If not, anything with a Celtic vibe, I trust Brian's judgment. Thanks for all you do. Don't wear a kilt in the snow, though. Rusty from Angus in Scotland.
It's good advice, that is kilt in the snow thing.
It's very good advice. Yeah. So here's so this track is one that I pulled out. So obviously, when you think Proclaimers, you think of that 500 miles song. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to be, I would walk 500 miles.
Yeah. You know, and what I'm I would about. Walk 500 more. That one.
That's the one.
All right.
I decided not to do a cover of that one because everybody knows that song. Mm. So instead, I picked a cover of Get Ready. Now, this is one the Proclaimers recorded for the Dumb and Dumber soundtrack. Nice. They're peeking at me through the window with their fake mustaches now to try and distract me. Great. They're becoming the new cat.
The cats or the people?
The people.
Oh, okay.
The neighbors.
All right. Those are some awesome cats, is all I was going to say, if they were doing
The cats, and the cats are sitting there on the table looking at me, too, like I busted them for running out of the house.
Nice.
All right, so this is the Proclaimers recorded this for the Dumb and Dumber soundtrack. It's Get Ready, and it's right here.
All right, here it is. We'll be back in a minute. Everybody hang tight, and we'll have Dan on, and then we'll do your questions. Stay tuned. Where it ended.
Oh, no way.
Yeah,
really?
Cut off there. Yeah, weird.
Oh, I wonder if as I was uploading it, if it if that's when stuff broke, if that's when the internet went down.
Oh, it might have, dude. That's funny. Yeah, it literally just killed right there. Wow, that was a
get ready because there I go
boop, and that was it. All right, well, that was awesome though. Still, I like that version. It was very nice.
Hey, the YouTube people should be happy about that one.
Yeah, they'll be thrilled that it got cut off. They won't even bug me now.
That's right.
Hey, we're back. Hello, and let's keep going. So while we were doing the song right before it cut off, shockingly quickly, it's Blood Sail, not Blood Scale. This is all Mike correcting us
here.
Oh,
Blood Sail. That's right. Yes,
only one Buccaneers. Of us should be embarrassed by that because I have a show about World of Warcraft and I feel like an idiot now. And Ghostbusters is what Linda is being cast in or being considered for. That was the thing we were
That's
talking about.
Right.
And she'd be great.
Wow, look at you. You're doing the role of me, like when I have to watch the chat room for corrections to right. everything we say.
Right. That's what I'm saying, man. so let's do what's next, which is call Dan. And I'm going to have to lean over. Hold on, everybody, because I still haven't fixed this little problem. It's a password problem. I got to fix it.
All right, okay.
Dan the man. He's right there. Okay, let's get him in here. I even have a little theme for him.
Intruder alert, intruder alert.
Oh, it's Dan the man, the video game, not video game, the board game man. He is it's a little segment we call Chit Chat for obvious reasons, and Dan's on the line with us now. Hi, Dan.
What's going on, guys?
Oh, man. Are you back not from much, your vacation? Are you chilling, or how you feeling?
Yeah, well, I only had a couple of days left. Ibid, you feeling all right, buddy?
Oh, yeah, feeling just fine. Why do you ask?
I figured, what do you have, an infected tear duct, or is it actual gland, you know, an actual...
It's a clogged tear duct. It's a sty, basically.
Right. Yeah, because, you know, lancing it, or if they could actually Roto-Rooter that thing out, sometimes they'll do that. That's a
Roto. Whoa, hold on.
They'd just be able to blow it out with a big straw.
Back that truck up. Roto-Rooter it out? Is that a real thing?
Well, that's kind of a little slang thing. Like sometimes they'll put a little instrument up there to try and break it loose and then lavage it out a little bit with some saline and stuff if it gets clogged.
Oh, lavage it out. All right. You just did two things to me, Dan. One is you freaked me out. The other thing you did is you sounded like somebody on The Sopranos, because you are kind of, you know, Mr. Italian, freaking Eastern side of the country kind of guy.
Well, I'm originally from Brooklyn and Long Island. So.
Yeah, so you have this accent. I feel like you were just informing Tony of some kind of something, and that word you use, lavage it out, that sounds like you're rubbing somebody out or something. Somebody got
lavage
whacked.
Is kind of like what you do when you're washing, you know, you get like a saline bath and you kind of like rinsing things out. Yeah. And like if there's a wound, you can call that kind of a lavage.
Well, Brian, you know why Dan's good at this stuff. He's like a pharmacist. Like he is the guy to
really?
Yeah, he's always got good advice, right?
That's why I was getting a good laugh in the chat room when Scott was talking about his allergies to antibiotics, and I was trying to figure out which one he was.
Yeah, because immediately that's what your brain does. It goes, all right, let's see. Would that be the burp, burp, burp? I can tell you the one I have trouble with is anything with that Cipro, whatever in it.
Oh, yeah, fluoroquinolones, ciprofloxacin. And
that's it. That's the one.
Levofloxacin.
That gives
which
me.
Which is a pretty strong one. So if you get. You know, you get the flu and stuff like that. Sometimes, you know, or some nasty upper respiratory infections. They may want to give you some of those things, or some skin infections they'll use that for. Yeah. Or God forbid you ever get a UTI.
Ooh, what's a UTI? Ooh,
upper urinary tract infection.
Oh, yes. That's up in your unit there, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't want that.
We'll wonder who you've been playing with if you get a nice UTI.
All right, so Dan, tell me this. Why does it take the lady at Walgreens over here 80 minutes, an hour and 20 minutes, to put 36 amoxicillin capsules into a little plastic cup?
You know what? I'm glad you asked, Brian, because this is one of those questions that we get all the time. I'm out of retail, and it's kind of for this reason, too. Now, don't take this the wrong way, but what you have to remember is you're not the only person on the planet.
Yeah. No. But I'm the most important one.
Well, of course. I mean, if I was there, I'd get you right out of the door because, sure. You know, you're my boy. Yeah. But what happens is, you know, think of this. So you're sitting in a pharmacy. You're the pharmacist, all right?
Yeah,
you get people calling up constantly. You've got insurance claims are backed up. You got the little old lady asking you why her prescription costs $3. Then you got to call a doctor because the person that just brought in the bottle right before you has absolutely no refills on it. So, I mean, you got to take care of that. And then she's wondering why you didn't know there was no refills on that. Then, of course, that person that says that they swear their insurance card works. Yeah. Oh, 10 minutes later, after you've been on the phone with their insurance, they forgot to tell you that I got a new insurance card last year. And how come we didn't have that on file?
One of those deals.
Okay. Mm.
And then the phone rings because somebody wants to call in a prescription in.
I would agree with you. If it were like, nope, there was nobody else at the freaking Walgreens. It was like me and maybe two people. So it's like, okay, 15 minutes? Sure, I'd give them 15 minutes. But an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah. That's why? Because
Walgreens
want you to wander around and buy Skittles and foot massagers. That's what they're interested
in. Exactly, yes. Yeah. They want exactly what they want.
There's your 88
minutes.
If
somebody says they're a waiter, though, I mean, it's pretty common pharmacy practice. If somebody's going to wait, 15, 20 minutes. So, because especially if they're in front of you, because you want them out of your face. Yeah. You know, you want to work when there isn't somebody staring at you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, normally if you say, I'll wait for this, they're like, give me 15, 20 minutes. And then still people will be like,
Is it time yet?
Yeah. I want Dan to be my pharmacist for two reasons. One, you seem to just be the nicest pharmacist ever. Secondly, I am so not that guy who breathes hard and acts like everyone needs to serve my needs. And neither is Brian. We're both easy.
Yes,
like
we are.
You would be even Brian's 88 minutes. I guarantee he still said thanks and gave him a smile. And, you know, like he's still going to be a nice guy. So we would be the least of your problems. It's all the weird meth heads that come in looking like, do you guys have any samples or anything you can just give me?
Well, what you'll laugh at this too, because you'll get these people that'll come in, and now I'm not sure what the syringe laws are out there in the Utah, but people will come in to get syringes, generally for people that have diabetes and stuff like that. But you'll get people that come in and they'll be like, "Yeah, I need one syringe." I'm like, "Okay, what are you using it for?" "Oh, my cat, she's diabetic." So your cat's diabetic one day a week?
Yeah.
So is that because you got all the people that are doing each
those stories never hold up, right? They just don't hold up when they tell you that.
Yeah, well, and And in the same instance, you're on, like, all right, so here's 10, because you'd rather these people use clean needles.
Oh,
I hate to say these people. Sorry to offend people out there. But
who are you calling these people?
I mean, if somebody's going to do things with those needles, you'd rather them be clean.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't want them to be reusing the needle, God forbid, sharing and stuff like that. So, I mean, that's also stuff you have to put up with. The amount of prescription drug abuse in the world is – It's probably, you know, and this is probably hyperbole, but I'd say it's at least 3 to 4 times that of illicit drug use.
Yeah.
Because all those controlled substances, because, you know, they're harder to bring up on charges, and they're harder to prove. I mean, it's a shame.
Yeah, it is, right? And you're right in the thick of it. You're right in the storm, man, just orchestrating wonderful work while trying to fend off the psychos and keep little old ladies
happy. You could fill an hour just on stories of what the stupid people do to you know, to try and get people will call in themselves, people that you've talked to for 5 years and you know they're addicts. They'll call in on a voicemail trying to pretend they're a doctor. Now, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to pull that off, but if you've talked to these people and it's a certain cadence in a certain way and you know all the nurses in the area, people call up and they're like, Brian, the patient's name is Ibbit. Brian Ibbit, his birthday is blah blah blah, and he needs that Xanax. Z-A-N, you know, they don't even know how to spell the words.
Right,
you know, they don't
right.
know what they're doing.
Yeah. And benzos, like, okay. Aren't benzos kind of a chief offender here? Like, that's a bad one, right? People always want more of those.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the biggest. That and the hydrocodone that just went Schedule 2 narcotic, which is going to make poor retail people's lives a living. Yeah.
Yeah. I understand completely. Well, good thing you're there are guys like you out there, man, leading the charge. Helping us get our pills.
Do you think that I wanted to say this about the creamer. I had a funny thing I was thinking. You think that originally started off as mom, pa sipping coffee in front of that creamer and two schmoes were sitting there like smoking pot going, dude, you know what would be hilarious?
We're going to change what we should do. This would be very funny. We should make a Hitler kind. A here, here, here. That's how it went.
Just remember to erase it after they see it before it goes out to the 8 million people that are going to be at this grocery store.
All I have to do is just add this little mustache.
Yeah, little tiny mustache. Make it a little bigger. Suddenly it's Charlie Chaplin. Who knows the difference? All right. Well, it's good to have you on. Let's talk about something you like to do when you're not working, and that is play board games. And
I'm glad you specified that.
I want some like Halloween-like recommendations, dude. I'm sick of all this normal everyday year games. Let's talk about
something scary.
All right, so I got a couple of really good games for Halloween to do. You know, if you want to play something with your family, there's an older game. It's a little over 10 years old by a guy named Friedman Fries. He's kind of a wacky cat too. He's got green hair. He always makes games. He's a German guy who always makes games that start with F. And they're usually F in German, so when I translate it, they may not be. But this game is called Fearsome Floors.
Floors, like the floor you stand on. Floors.
Yep. Right. So what you do, you've got a... Every person has like a group, like they have some pretty thematic groups. You have basically three or four dial with these little wooden chits that have pictures on them. And they'll be thematic. They'll be like the Addams Family's on one. They've got kind of like the Greasers on another. I think there's even a version that might have like kind of a Scooby-Doo people on there. And you're trying to get these people out of this dungeon, or it's like a haunted house. But there's also monsters. After everybody takes their turn, there'll be a monster that has like a predetermined path. So you'll pull another chit, and it'll say how many moves the monster gets. And it kind of goes towards the closest guy. Now, every one of your little discs has a number on them. So there's different numbers. There's like a 1 on one side and a 6 on the other. So when you move the 1, you flip it over. So the next turn, you get to move it the other amount. So there'll be like, I think it's like a 3 and a 4, a 2 and a 5. So you've got like depending on players, 3 or 4 of these discs. And you're moving them. Then a monster goes, and then you go again. So it's pretty cool because you could really screw your neighbor. And the fun thing about it, especially if you're playing with your family, is, you know, you can teach your kids how to think ahead. And how to plan on, since the monster has predetermined routes that it goes on, you can kind of, you know, you can kind of teach kids how to think ahead to where. So if you go here, is the monster going to see you? Stuff like that.
No, that sounds all right. And it seems like, what's the age range here? Sounds like something a kid could play.
You know, they recommend 10 and up, but I would say you can do it with 7 or 8.
Because, 7 or 8.
You know, it's not really scary. You know, there's fun little things on there. There's actually like little cardboard blood on there that you can use as like a little slip and slide through the dungeon. There's little things you're pushing, but it's so cartoony that it's not going to scare anybody.
And the age range may even be more about competency than it is about content, right? Like maybe yeah, it's absolutely. 10-year-olds
and
are going
to
be smarter.
Play from 2 to 7. It takes about an hour, maybe, right. maybe a little less.
I like them. That sounds great for a nice cold Halloween night with your kids. Yep. That
and
like
you can get it for probably a little under $30 on Amazon. You may be able to get it before Halloween if you want to try to do something like that. Ooh. Now, another game. Now, yeah. if you're a little bit more of a gamer and you want to take like a Halloween party, you want to drink some adult beverages and you want to put some candles on and you want to play a nice spooky game. You guys like H.P. Lovecraft? You know
yeah,
who that is?
Yeah, I do. I every night I sleep with my Cthulhu. And
oh, yeah. The sure, Cthulhu yeah. mythos. Now, you're talking about a game either Arkham Horror or the newer Eldritch Horror that's out by Fantasy Flight. This is a game that's going to take you a while, but you're basically investigators that are going around the world and different monsters are coming out. You're going against basically one of the old ones. You could go against Cthulhu. And you got to forgive me. I don't remember some of the other great old ones that you can go against. But they all play a little bit different, and it's completely co-op. And now everybody's got their own investigator, or if you're playing with a smaller amount of people, you can play with a couple investigators. You've got skills you're using. You're trying to – you know, you're going to flip over a card. There'll be some flavor text, and then it's going to tell you to pass a test of some sort. You'll be rolling dice trying to pass tests. You can go insane. You can get killed. It's just an absolute blast, and nice. It's all co-op. So
that sounds
so
all right.
much fun.
Sounds all right. Listen to this, by the way. Listen to this. I got a little theme music or a little Halloween.
Oh, nice. Yeah. See, you put that on the background when you're playing Eldritch Horror.
That's what I'm saying. By the way, YouTube is a wealth of this sort of thing. If you're looking for like just background, this is an hour and a half of this. You can just loop this out in your iPod or something. Done. Amazing. Anyway, weird. Yep. YouTube.
Now, if you want somewhere in between, I'll give you one last one for you. If you want somewhere in between the real hardcore and the real family, there's a dice game that's pretty much the dice game of Arkham Horror that's made by one of the greatest game designers, Richard Lanius. It's called Elder Sign. Now, Elder Sign, it's a little bit cheaper. I think it's less than $25. It's an awesome game. It's basically playing Arkham Horror with just basically rolling dice and you're completing tasks. There's also an app on the iOS. I think it's just for the iPad, but it's an amazing app for Elder Sign. You should check that out as well.
So is that app the game, or is the app's a companion app though, right?
Like, no, you can actually, you're playing the game on the app.
Oh,
and it's awesome because just the way it's rolling dice and then you're selecting whether you want to keep some or send them back, and you're going to different places. You can play more than one of the investigators that you know by yourself. It's a great killer way to pass some time in a doctor's office or and things like that.
And you say he is he's known for quality game experiences. In other words,
Richard Lanius is easily, you know, we have kind of have like a drinking game when you're listening to our show. Every time we say his name, you got to drink because we mention him all the time. He's the one that made Arkham Horror.
Oh, all right. So, well, then he's a popular individual.
Oh, yeah. And he's got some great games. I'll have to put up a couple of good other good games up on the forums about some good games from either Richard Lanius or some other good Halloween games, but there's a ton of great ones. I really think Fearsome Floors is an unsung hero kind of among that family Halloween night thing, because like I said, anybody can play that, and you could play it with your family and just kind of teach the kids some things.
Well, that sounds awesome. Where can people find Dan on the internet so they can learn more about these and other awesome board game recommendations?
Well, you can check us out, the Geek All Stars podcast, geekallstars.com. You can also go to gamersforcures.com. The charity event is in a couple of weeks, the 24-hour board game marathon to benefit Turner Syndrome Society of the United States. In a couple of days, we're going to have the auction items that will go up. You can actually buy tickets online for the big ticket items. You can get a TV, an Xbox One, iPad Mini, $100 Visa. Those will go up online. And last year, we had a couple online winners actually win some of those things. And we will also have, there's dollar auctions. You can buy as many as you want. Dollar raffles. And they basically go into a box. And we have over 80 games. There's lots where you can pick what lot you actually want to put your raffle ticket in.
Nice.
So we've got a ton of stuff. Some great... some great companies, like Fantasy Flight, Eagle Griffin, Dice Hate Me Games. There's been some great people, Greater Than Games. That's who made the Sentinels of the Multiverse. That app that I mentioned last week, I don't know if you guys got that.
No.
Holy cow.
Is it good?
Awesome. Yeah. It's $10.
I downloaded it, but I have not had a chance to play it yet.
That's what Brian does. The reason he gets 128 gig devices is so he can just keep downloading them and have them there when he's ready.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll play them when he's damn good and ready, he says.
You know, and I'm pretty cheap when it comes to apps. Like, I refuse to pay $10 for things, but this was well worth it, in my opinion. I mean, it's a quality app, and it's like playing the the Sentinels of the Multiverse right there on your iDevice.
All right. That sounds awesome. So, Dan, Patrice, everybody, Geek Jock Blog on Twitter. Follow him there, and we'll see you in a couple weeks, man.
Guys, best of luck. Brian, good luck in your surgery. And, guys, I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, dude.
Sounds good. Thanks, man.
I should have asked him which kind of which flavor of Pepto is better, because I got to go get some later.
Is there more than one? Isn't it just all pink?
They're all pink, but they have like a strawberry flavor and a cherry flavor and like different flavors you can get, as you've heard from that guy.
Are there different flavors that you can get?
There's different flavors that you can get.
Yeah, you can get different flavors. Oh, man, this soundtrack is awesome. Oh, there's like lightning and thunder. And let's skip all the way to the 45-minute mark. See what's up. Let's just see. Oh. Now it's wind and howly sounds. Ooh, it's scary, Brian.
When you were a kid, did you have that that album, that vinyl record that was like spooky sounds from the haunted house? And I just remember it ended with like this repeating.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. I wonder if that has. Oh, I'd love to find that. They all. Oh, my gosh. You just rang a nostalgia bell I didn't know I had hanging out.
Yeah.
Wow. Seriously.
Everybody had that album. Everybody.
And it was annoying because the rest of the thing had no punctuation like that. No. When you got to that part, it was always like you could tell when it was coming, and it was annoying after a while because you heard it every time. Oh, you're freaking me out. That's crazy. I'll bet we could find it if we looked hard. Chat room, get on it. Come on, that's what you're here for. Quit lackadaisling around. And they've got some other good links for some of this stuff. That's great. All right, Brian, let's do a little...
Do you see the sunset behind me, by the way?
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Beautiful.
Isn't that amazing?
You know what I like about it is that you are so nicely silhouetted against it. Oh, wow. Look at those clouds.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. That looks like cotton candy up there in the sky.
Those are, that's pointed towards you, actually.
Is it really? Well, maybe send the heat that's with it over here and that'd be great.
Sure. Okay.
All right. It is time for us to dust off this.
Bird News Tweets.
Want to go bird hunting this weekend?
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
I did it in backwards. I don't know why.
Life's a joke. Shit bird!
On Twitter.
That's to prove to people that it's not one big recording, right? You can put those in any order you want.
I guess so. Yeah, that's true. So we got a bunch of Twitter questions. These come to us on the hashtag TMS questions. Or sorry, ask TMS. Those are the new ones. Ask TMS. These are hashtagged and people use them. And it's awesome because you ask us weird questions and we're going to read them now. And here we go. One from Salted Snake. He says, no more electricity on Earth all of a sudden. What profession do you guys have? So what do you do? Mm. What's your job now, Brian, that suddenly the world goes dark?
I will become a caricature artist.
In the mall? The big empty mall?
In the mall. The big empty dark mall.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
No, I think I'd figure out a way to cook. I think that would be my second love, would be cooking.
That'd also be useful. Like people would survive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know what I would be. I mean, problem is I'm not good at anything that doesn't require a lot of electricity and modern conveniences. Like, I'm lousy at building things. I don't cook at all well anyway. Like, to be a use for the community.
You would be a blacksmith. You totally would be a blacksmith.
You think so? I'd make swords and stuff? All right.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. By the way, I think Ironic Namaste found the YouTube video that contains that audio from chilling, thrilling sounds.
Yeah, this is probably okay. Let's try it out. It's slow coming in. Oh, it's on. Dude, someone hooked a record up and recorded.
You are a bold and courageous person.
This is it.
I totally remember this.
This is it.
Afraid of nothing.
Okay.
High on a hilltop near your home, there stands a dilapidated old mansion. Some say the place is haunted, but you don't believe in such myth.
Okay, I'm skipping past lady.
The top most... And you...
Okay, here we go. Oh, this is totally it, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, there's a cat. There's a damn cat. There's totally a cat in it. All right, there's more. Oh. There's like a dying cat in this thing. I remember this. Like, now it's all coming back to me. Find the yelling. I don't know where that is.
It's close to the end, if I remember correctly.
All right, let me try.
Oh.
sounds like you. I don't know why. For a second.
Me singing or something.
For a second, it sounded like you were doing it over the sound, and I thought, well, that's weird. All right. There it is.
That was exactly the one. Exactly the scream.
Oh,
that I was
my gosh,
describing.
Dude. Every house you went to with fake webs everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm having deja vu so bad. That is so funny.
Flip the record over. Flip. There's more kids coming. Flip the record over.
Ironic name we owe you one, man. That's awesome that you found that.
Well done. Well done.
It's a Disney thing, some are saying. I don't remember. Yeah. Probably could have been.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Very cool. Let's. Who knew that we'd get that out of that? Let's move on to. Let's see. The Grim Raffler. This is Ralph.
Okay.
Everybody, everyone's using fake names now for Halloween. You know how they all do that?
Of course, yes.
I've not succumbed. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have not yet succumbed to this. He says, is there any food you hated that your folks have made you eat? Is there food your kids hate that you make them eat?
Mm.
So when you were growing up, Brian, name the thing your mom would make that you'd just be like, oh, I can't do this anymore.
Oh, man, I'm trying to remember. So I'm mostly the meals I remember most are actually from my grandmother's house because I'd live there in the summers when I wasn't in school. And she would make, you know, all sorts of stuff, goulash and then these cabbage rice things. They're like cabbage balls with rice in the middle. Amazing pork sausage. I'm trying to remember something that she made that I just, oh, creamed spinach.
Ugh.
So it was like soup. It was, oh man, what's the consistency? Like cream of wheat.
Did you stand up and say, it's all I can stands. I can't stands no more. that sounds gross. I don't think I want that.
Creamed spinach was probably it. And then what do we make Tristan eat that he hates?
Yeah. What does he hate? It's gotta be
sun-dried tomatoes.
Really? I love them.
Hates them. I know. Me too.
Oh gosh. All right. Fine. For me, it was probably a few things, but I think it was the shredded carrots in Jell-O my mom used to make.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It was awful. I hated it.
Did you ever have tomato aspic?
No. What is that?
That's like Jell-O mold with tomato Jell-O.
No. Is it good?
No, and there's shrimp in it.
Oh, yuck.
And you eat it with mayonnaise.
I'm not interested in that at all. Nope. Do not want.
I don't even remember what that was. What country that all came from? But that was one of my in-laws' neighbors that, or I'm not one of my in-laws' parents that did that one. Tomato aspic.
Blew. That must be some specific to some part of the world or something. Who knows?
Yeah.
For stuff my kids don't like, they don't like. Actually, they eat most everything that we ever do. But I'm trying to think of something like Nick doesn't like fancy or if Kim comes home with a crazy recipe. Like, oh, yeah, we're going to make this thing that, you know, French people eat or something. Nick is out. He is not interested. Oh, that's your neighbor lady. Sorry.
Yep. Sorry about that. Say that again.
No, you're fine. I can't remember.
That Nick doesn't eat?
Yeah, he just doesn't eat. He won't eat anything that's fancy or hard to make. Like, if it's fancy, he doesn't
want
it. Yeah. Like, I'm saying, like, it could be, I don't know, like a French or an Italian thing that's super authentic. That's the trick, is if it's really authentic, he's not interested. He thinks that's weird.
So he's afraid that it's going to be like super authentic and weird tasting because it comes from another country. And
probably, yeah. He's an American kid who likes French fries, basically, is what it comes down to.
Okay.
Here's one. Let's see. I always get people asking where the name Frog Pants come from, and I've explained it on this show like 3 times, so I'm not going to do it again. How about this one? Watson wrote in, says, how do you both not burn out? I would have been smoldering messes years ago. Meaning, how do we not burn out on the work we do?
Sure. Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I just love doing it, I guess.
Yeah.
It never feels like, I mean, there are days where I'm like, oh, I need to lay down, you know, get away from this for a minute. But it's not, but I'm never like, oh, I hate my job. Like, I love this. I love what I do. So,
yeah. So, Watson, that just means you haven't quite found the thing that you love yet that you'll be able, well, or this would obviously wouldn't be it. Mm. Maybe you have found the thing that you love that you could do forever. But that's certainly what I found is doing podcasting and this sort of thing is something I could do forever.
Yeah. Content creation and drawing and recording and all these things. I mean, I'm basically fulfilling a lifelong dream I had when I was a kid. And And I didn't find it boring then, and I really don't find it boring now, and I never do. But there are things you can burn out on. You know, I can't play, you know, 25 hours of WoW straight. I'd completely burn out on that. There's certain things I could never do because I would burn out. But it just depends. I'll bet you, Watson, if that is your real name, I'll bet his real Twitter account is the Frog Pants. That's a little creepy.
Oh, that's kind of an infringement.
Yeah, a little bit. That's okay, though. You probably have a thing that you're really into and that you never burn out on. You're just not thinking of it. That's my guess. All right, moving on. Let's see. Someone emailed in a list of bands to check the other week. Any chance you've had, or have you had a chance to listen to any of them, including Flying Lotus? So you had mentioned you were going to write some of those names down.
I wrote them all down, and I have not had a chance to check any of them out. Between the trip to Vegas and a bunch of freelance, I have not had a chance to check them out. But I do have that list on my desk, so I will check it out. Is Flying Lotus? I guess Flying Lotus is probably the one they want me to check out the most.
Yeah, it seems like it there. So check that out and let us know.
Sounds like something from the Kama Sutra.
Right on. I know, right? Doing the Flying Lotus?
The Flying Lotus.
The Flying Lotus. You have to do it.
You know what? I'll bet it is. I'll bet that is one of the things in the Kama Sutra.
You do the Flying Lotus upside down after you listen to a good Bollywood movie. Let's see. Marley. Someone look that up. Flying Lotus here. Let's just see. Flying Lotus.
Google Flying Lotus and Kama Sutra. And make sure safe search is off.
Oh, here's the Reclining Lotus. Mm-hmm. One called Just the Lotus.
Well, we all know the Reclining Lotus.
Right, of course. Duh.
What are you, born under a rock?
The rock is a very different position. Let's see. The Reverse Lotus. The Flying Lotus. There it is.
Really?
Yep. Let's see. Oh, wait. You know what? That could be the band, though.
When you have sex with the band, the Flying Lotus, then it's called the Flying Lotus.
Yeah, I can't find it. Gosh dang it. All right, well, whatever. I got another one here from Marley Page. You know her. She is, yes.
She's getting married soon.
She did. She is. She says, getting married next weekend as two happily married individuals, just so everyone knows not to each other. give us your best advice for a happy marriage. So I say we make this one fun and, you know, and we do it in three words or less.
Okay. Did you want me to go first?
I was just thinking. I'm going to say always openly communicate. Those are my three words.
Okay. Separate checking accounts.
I love that mine was all like romantic and kind of all honesty.
Mine's all practical.
Brian's is practical. That is amazing. You know what? Take those two bits. Although I don't practice Brian's, Kim runs all my that crap. But it's still good advice.
She keeps it separate from you.
Yeah, she does. Basically, she keeps out of sight, out of mind. Otherwise, I get frustrated. I like it. Good job. And congrats, Marley Page. That's exciting for you. We're excited for you.
Congratulations.
Do any of you have horror stories about dating? Since we all know penis is Scott's favorite word. Do you have a favorite word, Brian? I don't know why this is part of the same question, but the horror story for me isn't so much of a horror. Well, it's the time my steering wheel came off of the car I borrowed from my dad while I was in the middle of the highway and just about killed us. Have I ever told that story?
Like, I don't think that's quite what they mean by a dating horror story.
Well, it was.
The drive home from the date was dangerous.
It was because she was like, okay, look, she was like 6'3". I was 6'2". She was taller than me. I was super intimidated by her. She was tan and beautiful, and I couldn't believe she even went out with me. Okay, so I was already super intimidated. My dad was had a bunch of cars he would pull in from auction from California and then resell here in Utah. And he had, the week before, a turbocharged 300ZX. Okay, it was awesome. Right. Black T-roof, beautiful. That was supposed to be my date car. The weekend rolled around, and he's like, oh, I sold it. Well, what's left? The Yugo out in the front yard was left. Literally a Yugo, dude.
Oh, my God.
Not kidding around. A damn Yugo. So he says, that's all I've got. Sorry, son. Ugh, I got to take this beautiful, tall girl on a date in a Yugo. So either of us barely fit into that thing. She was hunched over in it. We're in the middle of the highway on our way back from wherever we were eating, and we were going to meet with some friends and see a movie together. And I go to turn left, and the steering wheel comes off off the steering. What do you call that? The tree.
Yeah, the post. Right, the steering block or the steering post. Right?
Post
yeah.
or whatever pops right off of that thing. We kind of slide and curve and slam into a side of a median like guardrail thing. And all I could do was sit there and wait for somebody to see it and then call the cops because there were no cell phones in 1987. That is a horror story. It was awful.
Wow.
And I never went out with her again. It was too humiliating. It's like, oh, this terrible car. It's all my dad's fault. I was so mad at him for that. I wanted that sports car so bad that night. Anyway, Brian, give me one. Give me something.
Well, a girl that I was dating, actually the one that introduced me to Tina, when she found out that I was dating Tina, months after she and I broke up, she tried to crush my legs in a car door.
Whoa! Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm dead serious.
Oh my gosh. Wait, no, hold on. Let me set up. What's the scenario? She was going to have you be in a car and then what?
Tina and I went to her house to go pick up my stuff. And like I said, we'd broken up months before, and she was actually the one who broke up with me. So, you know, she doesn't have any say in like who I can date after we break up. But this was months after. I mean, Tina and I were dating other people between then and when we started dating. And then we eventually hooked up. That's another great story for another time, is how Tina and I started dating.
Hmm.
But once we started dating, I was like, well, I still need to go back over to Shannon's house and pick up all my stuff. So she says, oh, I'll go with you. So we go up there, and she comes out to the car. And she's like, all right, yeah, one sec. I'll be right back. And she goes into the house. And so Tina and I are talking. It's a warm day. So I've got the car open, the car door open. But we're both sitting in the car. I'm sitting in the driver's side. She's sitting in the passenger seat. But I'm turned facing out with my legs outside outside the car. And I'm sitting there talking to Tina. So I've got my head turned and I'm talking to her. And all of a sudden, we see Shannon running at the car full force. And she throws herself against the door to close it on my legs.
Oh, my gosh. That's psycho behavior, Brian.
It is completely psycho behavior.
Oh my gosh, you had...
Fortunately, I caught the door before it hit my legs and then got out and it was a big yelling match in the street. She was yelling at me and she finally did give me back my Violent Femmes cassette tape. So things were good and we could leave.
Was she the hand that rocks the cradle? I mean, my gosh, that's just scary, man.
Kind of a little bit. And I've tried to look her up on Facebook and... I can't find her. So
I did the same thing with this Paula girl I told you about that had the bloody bear at the front door with a knife in it.
Yeah, Chi-Chi's, right.
Yeah, yes. I tried to find her and I can't find her anywhere. I'm kind of secretly glad I couldn't, but I just, you know, I'm curious, like what happened to these crazy people long after we dated or whatever. Anyway, that's breaking your legs. Yeah. Freaking Tony Soprano's daughter or something over there.
What was the second part of that question?
Oh, it was. Hold on here. My favorite word is penis, he says. It's not my favorite word, but whatever. Well, do you have a favorite word, Brian, he says?
Well, in the early days of TMS, people probably would have said it was absolutely.
Yeah, you said absolutely a lot. That's true. I liked it, though. It was endearing. There was an absoluteness to your language. I like that. Comforting.
So favorite word, not necessarily one that you use a lot, but one that you just like saying.
Yeah, that you just like the word. Even though I still take issue because penis is not my favorite word, but
right, right.
I prefer man wiener if I'm gonna pick.
Ice Storm, can I get that one?
I prefer man wiener. I prefer saying man wiener. There. That's what I meant. This is a hard one, though, right? Okay, you know what? To keep it in the spirit of things, if it's my favorite, like, crude word, like, what's yours then?
Oh, my favorite crude word. So this is like the end of Inside the Actor's Studio.
Kind of, yeah. I'm going to go, so, tell us, what's your favorite crude word?
I say bloody hell, even though I don't have the accent or the inclination for it. I mean, my parents, you know, my dad was British, so I probably picked it up from him. But yeah. Bloody hell.
Did your dad like have the full-on accent and everything?
He does, yeah.
Oh, I envy that. I always wanted to grow up around some like accented folk.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I did. My brother and my sisters had Korean accents.
We definitely did have
accents.
It's
just not the same, you know? Right. Oh, bloody hell, my brother would say.
Not quite a Korean, Korean phrase.
Who ate all my noodle? That's it, he'd say. And that is not racist, all right? That's what he said. That's how he sounded. That's literally what he said. All right. Finally, I got one last one for you here.
Okay. All right. Good.
Who is your favorite Ghostbuster? Asks just another J. Martin.
Bill Murray. Yeah, hands down.
Ray for me. For me, it's Ray.
Really? You're the Dan Aykroyd. Was Venkman was Venkman's
fine.
Bill Murray's character. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Wait. Yeah. Peter Venkman was. Yeah. That was Bill Murray.
Yeah. Stance was Ramis, Harold Ramis.
Yeah. I just liked Egon. Right. Yeah. What'd you say?
Egon.
What'd you say? Stance.
Stance.
Who the hell's right, Stance?
Egon Stance. What was Egon?
Well, I thought Egon was just Egon. Do you have a last name?
Hold on a second. Why am I thinking there was a Ghostbuster named Stance?
Egon von Frustenberg. Furstenberg?
Stance.
Oh, that's a real guy.
Hold on. Ray Stance. That's Dan Aykroyd's character's last name. Oh, okay.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just call him Ray. I like Ray a lot. Ray's personality is the kind of person I like to hang around.
Spangler. That was Egon's last name.
Egon Spangler. Yes, Egon that's Spangler. It. Yeah.
Yep.
There you go.
I was getting confused.
You know, and once in a while, Ernie Hudson makes me feel bad, so I'll say Ernie Hudson occasionally.
That's a token answer.
And we still haven't... Oh, look at this troll on Twitter. Ask TMS, what's the deal with Gamergate? No, thanks. Not going near that today. Geez.
Yeah, no kidding.
What else? Anything else? I'm just ripping through these. Let me see if there's anything else.
I think it's horrible what happened to Felicia Day, but...
what happened to her? Oh, I read her thing, but did something happen? Yeah. Did she get threatened or something?
Yeah, really shortly after she posted that, somebody posted her home address and personal email account in that same thread.
Are you kidding me?
No, they're just
what
really
is it?
Horrible.
What? Sometimes the internet, you guys can just go take a flying leap. I don't understand why you would do that. She's so nice. She's the nicest person.
Exactly.
All right. Well, screw all that. Let's get out of here. Ask TMS. Put that in there all week, and your questions will be likely answered. If you didn't get answered this week, don't worry. You got plenty of weeks ahead. You can always try to get another one in. We're happy to try to get as many as we can. That is going to do it for us. Don't forget, patreon.com/TMS is what makes this fifth episode a week possible. Next week's edition of the show will be the Frog Pants Trivia Show. And I'm really excited about this. And Brian's got all the inner workings going.
That's right. And if you go to I'm hoping that I get this right, tinyurl.com, and I'm going to make sure I pull this up right now, /frogpantstrivia, you can register to be a contestant.
Oh, it worked.
Cool. All right, there you go. All you have to do, you just got to make sure you've got a Skype account, because that's how we're going to pull you in. And just tell us something about yourself. But it'll be 5 p.m. We're going to start half an hour earlier.
Yep.
So 5 p.m. until like 6:30-ish. You can play against Tom Merritt, Nicole Spagnuolo, Justin Robert Young, and of course, Mr. Scott Johnson against in trivia. So, and there are prizes to be won.
So excited. So what rules do we... Well, we don't have to talk about this now, but I'm assuming you're thinking of some ground rules to help protect against... people looking crap up while we're doing it.
Oh,
in real
absolutely.
Time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. There's the stuff is written in a way that it can't be looked up or can't be looked up easily. So,
well, that's good. I like all this. All right. We'll watch for more details on that throughout the week. We'll, of course, be here next week to talk more about it as we get closer to it. It's all very exciting and I can't wait. It's kind of a pilot program, folks. If you're interested in joining us again, that's tinyurl.com/frogpantstrivia. Confirmed it works. So go fill out the form and.
And if you want to make it permanent, just push us over the $10,000 limit on Patreon and it will become a permanent thing.
Never go away again.
That's right.
Yep. That's what we want.
But don't just raise your Patreon level until October 31st and then change it.
Yeah. We want you to be true friends of the program.
That's right. Exactly.
You can do it, people. You can do it. That's going to do it. Thanks, Dan, for being here. And Brian, I'm really glad we worked it out so you could be on with the Wi-Fi and all that.
I'm
that's
glad
great.
It's worked out. Yeah.
If you guys want to find us, frogpants.com/TMS. Email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. On Twitter, morningstream, Scott Johnson, und Coverville. All right. You got music for me to go out on, yeah?
I do. And thank God, because it's getting very dark and very cold out here.
I'll bet.
You can't even see the sky anymore behind, or maybe you can. I don't know.
Hey, you know what it is right, there. Hey, this Johnson. Is what it is there.
Peace.
PM.
It's PM there.
It is PM. It's super PM.
Yeah.
Hey, Johnson and Ibbett, October 25th is my girlfriend's birthday, and I'd love for you to play this cover of Dream On for her. It would be great if you could get this on the Thursday before so she can listen to it on her birthday. She's the most wonderful person I know. Scott and Brian are probably number two and number three. Love the love, love.
Love, love, love.
From California.
Yeah.
So this is a really early Coverville thing. I remember playing this on like within the first 50 episodes of Coverville years ago. And this is a cover of Dream On, Aerosmith's Dream On by the singer named Kelly Sweet. This is gorgeous. And it's a great way to close out the week in the show. So here you go. Dream On by Kelly Sweet.
All right. We'll play it now. We'll see everybody next week for a whole new week of shows. Brian Ibbett, thank you so much.
Thank you, Scott Johnson.
Watch for both of us this weekend with our friends Brian Dunaway and Randy Jordan as we tackle yet another film for FilmSack, our Halloween special for Leprechaun is the film. So watch for that. That'll be Sunday night. That'll go up. And I think that's it. We'll see you guys a little later. It's Dream On. So go ahead and dream on. Bye now.
Forever.